Hi, everyone. This is Mike with a very special and personal note. You know, during the WDW Today years, we struggled with those wanting to appear on the podcast to tout a charitable cause or podcast or website, and we felt that if we did it for one person, it would be only fair for us to do it for everyone. So we established a policy to not do it at all. You know, we did make one exception, and that was to support Magic Meets, which was Fred Block's brainchild. It was a Disney-oriented event. We attended, and it benefited the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We're trying to do the same here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast. We have our own charity, and we are truly grateful for all our listeners who support Give Kids the World. You know, the internet has spawned a unique culture, one that has given rise to a new way of establishing friendships and relationships. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have been enveloped in the social atmosphere of the World Wide Web and have found friends and built relationships you would otherwise have never forged. If you think about the number of friends you now have that you didn't have 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, a name that was in a forum or a chat room is now a friendly face, and perhaps someone you have spent time with in a Disney setting, Disneyland, Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, or maybe in a Disney race. Spaceship Earth introduced us to the concept of a global neighborhood, and that term has never been so true as today. With websites, blogs, podcasts, forums, chats, Skype, FaceTime, and other vehicles that have created for each of us a circle of friends, Disney and otherwise, that go beyond what any of us could have ever imagined. But with that blessing of friends comes a responsibility to take care of one another, to help celebrate the achievements, to offer a shoulder to cry on during tough times, or maybe just an ear for someone to talk to. Our ever-widening circles means we touch more lives, some at a distance, but some very much closer. We not only share in their joys and happiness and successes, but we also must be there for support during their failures and struggles. You know, we have one special friend currently struggling in the battle of her life. She is a former blogger and photographer for DebWillsAndAllEars.net, and her name is Barry Brewer. Some of you may be in her circle of friends, but not aware of her current struggle. But many of you may know Barry. She has been providing us with amazing Disney images and a friendly smile for as long as we can remember. You may have spent time with her at such events as Mouse Fest or the aforementioned Magic Meets, the All Ears December to Remember event, or some other Disney fan event. Barry is currently dealing with a very, very serious health issue, and she needs support, both spiritually in the form of positive thoughts and well wishes, and more importantly, in the form of financial support. We want to make it clear to everyone that if we were not aware of the serious nature of Barry's struggle, we would not be here asking for your help, for your support. It's important to respect Barry's privacy, and thus we cannot get into any further detail, but please feel free to send us email if you have any questions. If you can offer Barry any financial support, please send whatever you can to www.paypal.me/Barry Brewer. We will have that in our show notes. Thank you very much.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Jennifer Hart-Leaston. I'm from California, and I listen to the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 460 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and with me on the show, feeling a little under the weather, is Mr. Mike Scopa. Hello, Mike. Welcome back.
You know, I think once the snow is gone, I think I'll feel much better.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of melting today in the Northeast, at least in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. It was in the 50s, so that was good. I heard huge chunks of ice falling off the roof, so or somebody, like ninjas, were landing on the roof ready to attack. I don't know. But anyway, speaking of ninjas, we also would like to welcome Chris Eliopoulos. Hi, Chris.
See, you didn't see me.
Such when I think of a ninja, I think of Chris. So
so quiet.
Yeah. So, Chris, do you have a tip for us for songs today?
I don't have any tips. I have a song off my playlist by Mike's favorite artist, Fatboy Slim.
Oh, yeah.
And Weapon of Choice, because he loves
them. I love that song.
Walking on the Walls and everything, right?
Yeah, you know the video. With
oh,
the,
look
with
at that.
Who?
Mike knows.
Yeah.
What famous
Christopher
movie
Walken.
Star? Oh, well, I
gave
you
it away.
Knew. Took a long time, but he got there. Okay, so... So I have some shout-outs before we introduce our guest. I asked the Mickey Milers who needed a shout-out, and we had a few people say that they would like one. So Tara Landis wants a shout-out for her 11-year-old son who PR'd for his 5K this weekend, and his name is Ty. So congratulations, Ty. Karen Ellis wants a shout-out for her daughter-in-law, Julie. She's a Ragnar captain organizing their Arizona race, so... That's a lot of work to be a Ragnar captain. I know I was on the team, and it's just a lot. Matthew Milheiser wants us to know that he can recite Marcus Antonius' speech from Shakespeare and Julius Caesar from memory in Spanish. And so I guess you get a shout-out for that. And then our friend Gabe Gonzalez, his mom Amanda, wants a shout-out to encourage him to train for a half marathon. So
wow.
We love Gabe. Gabe's awesome. Okay, so we have some special guests on the show today, and returning to the show after a long hiatus is a very good friend of ours, a former Team All Ears buddy, and that is Brad Garfinkel from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, I was trying to think back to trail running,
yeah.
early on. Wow. With the podcast, might have been the last episode.
Wow. That was before Chris was here.
Yeah.
That was BC, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before BC, Chris. Before Chris, right. And you brought somebody with you. Actually, would you like to introduce our other guest?
I would love to. So someone that I've known for about 45 years, because she happens to be my my younger sister, Amy Green.
Welcome,
hey.
Amy.
Hi.
And Amy, you're also from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yep, I am.
Now, have you listened to this podcast before?
I have listened to little snippets here and there, but
especially when
I
we asked you to come on, right?
Well, Brad sort of just recently introduced me to podcasts, so now it's my new thing when I'm running.
Gotcha.
Like, I love the music, but I enjoy the podcast. It just kind of keeps my mind occupied.
That's good. That's good. Well, we hope we're in your repertoire. Maybe.
Yes, you are.
At least for this one. So Brad and I actually started running, I think, at about the same time in around 2008 or 2009. Right, Brad?
January 1st, 2008, New Year's resolution.
Yeah. So I think we definitely, I think you've gone above and beyond me, but I always say one of my favorite, when I think of Brad, I think of him right after his first Goofy. Do you remember?
All the medals? My nap spot.
Yeah. Is it Martha's Vineyard Lounge between the yacht and the beach club?
It's funny because I remember Brad wearing a tutu one February. We were in the Princess Half together. I remember that tutu. You remember, and you had some really interesting stockings on that day too, Brad. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Way back
beautiful.
When.
Beautiful pink. The stockings and wig were provided to me by one of my employees.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's a whole other podcast. So, so we know Brad loves running. We know he loves Disney. So, Amy, are you, as a sibling of a Garfinkel, do you love Disney as well?
I do love Disney. I have a 9-year-old daughter. So when she turned 3, that was her first trip. 3 and a half, actually. And we went with Brad and his wife and my niece. And we've been on like the 2-year plan. So every 2 years we've been taking her down.
Oh, cool. So Brad is a veteran of Disney running. And I know this year was your first race. But before we get to the specifics about that, Brad, did you have a plan to invite Amy to run? Is it something you've been working on for years, or just spur of the moment, or how did that all happen?
Well, anybody I come in contact with, the motive is always, they like Disney. They have two legs. but actually, and I'll let Amy tell the story. She a little over a year ago sent me a text. So Amy, tell the story.
Yeah, it must have been Marathon Weekend last year, and Brad did not go to that one, but he was reminiscing and he was posting all of his past photos on Facebook. And so I'm, looking through them and I just was like, oh my God, that looks like so much fun. Like, to the point that I need to do that. So I sort of pondered this thought for like a day or two. I didn't want to be too impulsive because I figured my first step would be to reach out to Brad to say, hey, can I even do this? Like, this isn't a year. Could I even do this? So finally, after like a day or two, I'm like, yep, I'm still excited about it. I still want to do it. I sent him a text and I was something to the effect of, what would you think if I trained and went down to Disney and ran the half marathon? Like, that was my goal. Wow. Was just to do the half. Never so anymore.
Were you a runner before this?
No,
it was just
never.
The Disney and that your brother would be there to support you. Was the thing that got you interested in this?
Yes, exactly. And it looked like fun. I just wanted to go have this incredible amount of fun at Disney with him. And that's what sparked it all.
Wow. And Brad said, no way, sis, this is my deal. You're not doing it.
No, I think he was pretty excited at the idea.
So Brad, did you help her train?
Yeah. So we began talking, we looked at the calendar and just built some small milestones in, and she started with one of the Couch to 5K apps and did that. And she started with just doing some basic intervals, run, walk, and really build up from there. But she did it the right way. I mean, for the entire year, she was so incredibly disciplined and dedicated to her training, took it seriously. If she missed miles or missed a day, she was upset by it, but was just incredibly disciplined the entire year.
Brad, do you remember when we were like that?
Yeah, where we are now, where it's just, well, I'm doing a race this weekend, so it's kind of like a training run.
That's really cool. So, Amy, what do you do for a career? Do you have a very active career? Are you an active person anyway?
No, I'm not really active other than chasing my daughter around. But no, not too active.
Okay.
Like, I've always been on and off with, like, exercising and going to the gym. But definitely in the past, I'd say 5 years, more on the off side of it. Mm-hmm. So didn't have a lot of physical activity going on.
So it was the Disney piece of this and hanging out with your brother that really.
Yep, absolutely.
That's cool. So you guys signed up for the half marathon.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we signed up for the 10K. I signed up for the 10K and the half. And then Brad signed up for the 10K, the half, and the full.
Mm-hmm. Just like.
Was that Brad. Full or full? Full.
Both.
Full?
Cool. Well, I told her.
And
you
also. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sean. And I said, if you do this, I said, it's my treat. The race registration is my treat, my honor. We used, we had some DVC points left over that we didn't need. I was so excited.
Didn't need? Did he say that? Okay.
we had some extra points.
Okay. Cool. That's great. And you had a friend with you too, right?
Yes, I suckered my poor friend into this. She also loved Disney, and she was not a runner.
I know the past tense of that word. Loved.
She and I had said a long time ago, wouldn't it be fun if we just did an adult trip to Disney? I mean, we love going with our families, but just for she and I to go have fun, do our thing. So I'm like, well, this is the perfect opportunity. This would be an adult trip. So it all. I don't know. It made sense to me.
So did you train together with her?
We tried to. Our schedules were a little off, but we would get our long runs in together over the weekend.
Cool.
During the week, we did actually get some of our runs in the evening together. Our girls cheer together. So while they were at cheer practice, we would get some of our runs in then. So,
cool.
Yeah, for the most part, we did try to train together.
All right. So, you get down there, you're all trained. And by now, the story, the infamous story of, well, let me just ask this. When they started to talk about lightning and rain the day of the half marathon, what were your thoughts and what was Brad telling you?
Well, Brad, you were sort of, I think Brad was sort of talking about one other time that he had heard of this happening. Was that at a Wine and Dine?
It was the Wine and Dine, yeah, just with the rain delay. And it was obviously a nighttime race, but how they handled it. So I began just kind of thinking, okay, this is the morning. The parks have to get open. What are the options going to be? You know, they can't, I just didn't see them pushing it back in the morning. So in the back of my mind, I assumed it's either there's a race or there's not a race and there's no in between.
Okay. So we all know what happened. Then the night before at about 7 o'clock, was it 7 o'clock? They canceled the race, and I can't imagine. I mean, so, you know, I've done a lot of races. We've all done a lot of races. Some of us were not as happy as others that it was canceled. I can't imagine if you had done all this planning for a whole year, what was going through your mind at that point?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It was like I did all this training to come down and not just do the 10K, although that was a lot of fun. I think it took us over 2 hours to do it. We were having so much fun, but I'm like, I trained all this time for this half marathon. I need to do that. I'm not going home, and I need to do this. And I needed to do the race. I know the day that it was canceled, a lot of people were out running their own halves. Mm-hmm. But I just needed to do the race. I wanted the whole experience, getting up crazy early, you know, the buses, all that stuff. I wanted all of it.
You're
That's what
adorable,
I signed up
Amy.
For. So.
You're just adorable. Okay.
Said like a true first timer.
I know. Get up early. That's so cute. Okay. I get it. Definitely. So then we had the options, and the options were, of course, that you could get like a refund, basically in the form of a gift certificate. And guys, jump in if I forget. You could sign up for another race, which I think is what Mike did with his option. Or you could, Amy.
You could do the full.
You could do the full. And so that's what you opted to do, right?
Yeah. And I don't think it took us a long time to come to that decision.
You were drinking is what you're saying.
And yeah, what was Brad's influence on this whole thing?
I think he, if I remember correctly, his thought was, you know, at least do the half, get to the halfway point, and you did what you came to do. But if you feel good, we'll keep going. Hmm. So is that sort of how that played out?
Yeah. I mean, I was watching the weather every half hour, and we were down at Disney Springs when, it was a 5 o'clock announcement. Then it was going to be 7 o'clock. And then when the announcement finally came out, and I saw it first, and she was shopping with my dad, who's a cast member, and her friend Melanie, and they came back over, and I said, it's canceled. And you know, not an easy thing to say, but then right away we started saying, okay, so what's the alternative going to be? And they had already gotten ready to go to bed, and I was still up at like 11:15 when the official Disney email came out with the link to register for the race. And we had already started talking about some what ifs, and you know, at 11:15 at night it got real. Like, what are we going to do? And that's when they made the decision that they were going to at least register for the full and at least get their 13.1 miles in.
And so, I think part of it too was we didn't know how many runners they were allowed to do that.
Because
it had said
numbers.
Like limited entries.
Yeah, yes, you're right.
So we were nervous. So Melanie and I were asleep. Brad comes in. He's like, the links have wake up. So we like quick jumped up. We grabbed our phones and we're, you know, in there getting registered.
That's where it helps to have a pro.
Yeah.
He knows. You don't mess around.
So, Amy, it sounds like you didn't have any hesitation.
I didn't have any hesitation to do it and know I could do the half. I knew I could do that. The rest of it, I wasn't real sure about.
That was a great, I think that's a great, that was great advice, Brad, because it really takes the stress off because you knew you could do the half already.
Well, and just, yeah, I've been talking up and sending her YouTube videos of what it's like to enter the Magic Kingdom and to run down Main Street. And I mean, you guys get it, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I'm thinking this is one of those moments in my life that I could share with my sister that is going to be a memory forever. And I thought, you know what, at the very least, the race starts at the same place, gets her to the Magic Kingdom. Actually, she gets to Animal Kingdom, which is still a great part of the race, seeing the animals and getting through the park. So she gets what she came for, at the very least.
So, Brad, as Amy's primary coach, you probably were thinking, okay, what do I have to do? What do I have to call upon as far as your experience goes to make sure she can do this? And could you share with everyone what you were thinking about in regards to how you were going to pull her through 26.2 miles?
So I probably drove her crazy because I kept, you know, checking with her, like, are you okay? How are you doing? How's this pace? Do you need, you know, do we need to stop for water? So the whole time I just kept asking, how are you feeling? How are your hips? How are your feet? She had some foot problems early on in her training, and we just kept talking, but we also, you know, we stopped for a lot of photos early in the race, and we knew we started in Corral. Were we in N or was it P?
We were in N.
So we started in N. So I also, in the back of my mind, the whole time was calculating, okay, how much time do we have to have some fun, have some photos, knowing what the sweepers would be if we got to the point where we were doing a lot of walking. So just constantly checking our watches, checking our pace. Okay, you know, we stopped for photos here, but now we should probably get on. And so it was just constantly me just kind of taking her, you know, just checking on her to make sure, you know, is she doing okay? And we got to about 10 and a half or 11 in Animal Kingdom, started walking. Actually, we ran into another friend of ours, Jamie Kirchy. We ran with Jamie on and off for a little bit and started doing some walking until we got into Animal Kingdom. And she was doing incredible. I mean, her pace was great. She was having a blast. Her attitude was great. And in the back of my mind, I kept telling her, look, it's up to you. But in the back of my mind, he kept saying, you're going to do this. I know you're going to do this.
So remind me, Amy, was your friend with you too? Did she opt to do it?
She opted to do it, but she was in Corral P. Was it, what was the last Corral? Was that P or?
Yeah.
Oh, I forget.
Yeah.
So she was a little bit further behind us. Mm-hmm. So we weren't sure like where she was or what was going on with her at all during the race. Until I think we hit the halfway point, and I think we must have messaged her and just said, hey, we're going to keep going.
Wow. Yeah. When did you feel like you hit it? When did you like say to yourself, I'm going to keep going? Was it at the halfway point, or was there earlier you were kind of like, I can do this?
I think at the very beginning, I was thinking, I'm going to do this. Like, when am I going to get this opportunity again? I mean, unless of course I want to pay for it and do it, but I felt like we were getting a bargain, you know, upgrading to the full.
So. Oh, it was a bargain.
It's always about the discount.
Yeah,
as we say here in Massachusetts, it was a bargain.
It was a total bargain. So yeah. I just thought this is just the coolest opportunity. This doesn't come along every day. So I, in the back of my mind, I thought I'm really going to try to do this because I just didn't want to stop.
So did the, you know, the morning of it was freezing. did that concern you at all?
That was the worst part of it.
Yeah, it was.
Like, honestly, just waiting and the wind and the cold was the worst part of it. But I felt like we were pretty prepared. I mean, being from Pennsylvania, we all had extra clothing with us so we could layer. Mm-hmm. The only thing I think I had to buy was a hat, which now I have like this, my favorite hat in the world that my daughter can't have. It's a Minnie Mouse hat, but it's for a kid, but I love it. She can't have it. But I think we were prepared for that. And we were used to running in the cold. I mean, that's what we did all, you know, winter long.
Wow.
But I was just thinking, oh, at some point it needs to warm up because my feet were numb.
Yes.
I don't think it was until mile three that I could feel my toes again.
Yes.
So I was happy to get to that point.
And when we were sitting in the corral, and I've got to throw this is, again, it was just meant to be such a great day. We're sitting there and all bundled up, and we've got, you know, through Amazon, I bought like 40 heat blankets. So we're all bundled up, trash bags, the whole bit. And Carissa comes back to our corral. And so I looked up and I said, hey, I said, you know, I started explaining about my sister, and I said, hey, I'm part of Mickey Milers. So she then interviewed Amy up on the big video board, she hung out with us for probably 15 minutes. And so that was 15 minutes that passed. It just made this even more real. I knew at that moment, this is just going to be a great day.
And that doesn't happen to everybody that you get interviewed by Carissa. That's so cool.
Well, and I was even thinking, like, what were the odds of this with these thousands and thousands of people that she just popped into our crowd and there she was, like,
That's neat. Well, it sounds like it was a magical day all around. So we wouldn't recommend, or I don't know, would you recommend that somebody go about running a marathon this way, Amy?
I think if you can trust your body and know, you know, if you have any aches and pains and if you can deal with it, or if you're just feeling good. Like, I feel like I was just feeling really good and was super motivated and just took it mile by mile. Like, I just was looking for that next mile marker to see what cute little Disney character was going to be on it to get a picture taken.
That's awesome.
And then, we ended up running with the 7-hour pace group, which was perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a nice run walk for, I think, for the last like 6 or 7 miles of it. And it was awesome.
Well, and actually, well, let's back up a little bit. So a cast member, we got into ESPN and a cast member said, oh, you've got plenty of time. The balloon ladies are 20 minutes behind you. And the next person said, no, they're 2 minutes behind you. Look back. And we looked back and there was the end of the race, 2 minutes behind us. And we had talked about, you know, if push came to shove, and we thought that we weren't going to make the time limit, that she was okay with me going and finishing if we thought that she was going to get swept. So as we were leaving the baseball stadium, I mean, we right passed right beside the lady with the balloon going into the stadium. And I've never been that close to the sweeper before.
I thought you were going to say you're going to kick the balloon ladies in the shins and take off.
If it meant getting my sister to the finish line, I would have done anything. But at that point I said, hey, are you able to run? And she goes, I feel good. So we did, we ended up doing, it's like 15:45s or something. And we hooked up with the 7-hour Galloway pace group, who were just incredible. Might be the best pace group on the course. And I would love to run with them again. But they got us to the finish line.
What made them good, Brad?
The two pace leaders, there was a guy that was in the group that had to have been 6'8", 6'10", that could see over everybody. So he would, and really loud, so he would call out, you know, run, walk. And then one of the pace ladies was, I mean, just had this, she was like a drill sergeant, incredibly loud voice. And she was like, coming through, 7-hour, coming through. You're either with us or you're getting to the side. And I mean, just followed behind this woman. And there was probably, there were at least 100, 150 people in the 7-hour group. It was, I mean, we found a family and bonded with these people really quickly.
That's so cool.
I had no idea that there was, that the pace groups went to like 7 hours. I thought that they stopped at around 5 or maybe 6.
I was shocked too. And that's when, you know, once we started talking, she was like, we're going to finish. She said, but if you can't keep up with this, chances are you're not going to make it.
Oh, cool. So, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to say, when Amy was talking about doing it, I think that one of the things that also pulled her through is that she had certain expectations, and she knew that this was that she was taking a chance and that she was ready for anything, and she knew that she was going to do the half, and anything beyond that was going to be gravy. And I think that, and I was going to ask you, Amy, was there any point in the race where you felt that you got into autopilot, so to speak, as all runners say, or the adrenaline just kept you going and you were just on auto mode? Did you recall any point in the race where you just kept moving and you never felt any fatigue or any soreness?
Yeah, there was never really a point that I felt that. Like at every, you know, water stop, we got water, we got Gatorade at the banana stops, the gels, every single stop, we got what they had to offer. And I looked forward to it. I'm like, whoa, what's coming up next? This is exciting. And then when there was like music along the course. And at one point, and it was a little warmer because I think I'd started, you know, taking off some layers, and we're kind of like running through, weaving in and out, you know, trying to get past some people. And I remember at one point just sort of singing along with the music. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just having so much fun. I can't even remember at what point that was, but I think the adrenaline definitely kicked in and I was like, oh my God, I'm totally doing this. I am doing a marathon. This is crazy.
That's great. So when you got home, something special happened in your hometown, right?
Oh yes. We were interviewed for an article in our local newspaper.
That's cool. And how did they find out about it?
I think Brad knew somebody.
Of course.
With one of my my many running activities, I have a pretty good contact. Her name is Kelly Layton, and Kelly does all the running articles for the local newspaper, the Patriot News. But I've got to give full credit where credit is due. As soon as we crossed the finish line, Barb Kennedy sends me a text message, and Barb said, you need to reach out to someone and get her in the newspaper. So completely Barb's idea.
Barb lives near you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's great. That's great.
Man. So, what did you do after you finished? Did you just like collapse to the ground, or did you like?
I know what Brad did. No way.
Holy
ass! Right,
I finished this thing.
That was Amy and Melanie's first trip to Beaches and Cream.
He's teaching you right. Oh my goodness.
Well, I have to tell you, like immediately afterwards, after we got our medals and our pictures and stuff, and I think I got a little emotional.
Of course.
And I was more emotional. I did do a half with Brad, the Hershey half, just as, you know, a sort of practice run. And I was really emotional for that. And for some reason, across the finish line, it just wasn't quite as emotional. But of course, drinking all the water, I'm like, had to run to the porta potty. I like broke down completely, major breakdown in the porta potty. And I'm like, well, this is good. I'm by myself right now.
Just where you want to be, crying alone in the porta potty.
Most people cry in the porta potty for other reasons. But
were you more emotional at the porta potty at the end of the race than you were running up Main Street, USA?
Well, Main Street, that was just, oh my gosh. I have a video running up Main Street, and I've watched it many, many times because that was the coolest experience ever. Loved running up Main Street.
At what point did you realize you were going to finish? Like, were you in, like, Epcot, or were you even back further that you were like, I got this?
Well, no, I think once we passed that 13.1 point, I'm like, I can't not finish. I'm telling myself I'm doing it.
Wow.
And the only thing that was going to stop me is if the balloon ladies caught up to us, but we were good there.
Okay. Yeah, because like usually there's some point in a race, in a marathon, especially for me, I tend to go, you know, you get into the entrance, you hit the that curve that comes around into the back entrance, and you're just going to go, okay, I got this. We got about a mile to go, and usually you go, I'm gonna do it. Like I said, I've never been that close to the sweepers, but I would have thought maybe there was a point where you were like, I'm actually going to do this.
Yeah, I think that was when we were at that halfway point, and I had my mind set, like, if I'm going past this, I'm finishing it. Because I think if I wouldn't have, I would have felt this like sense of failure. Really? And I didn't want that. I wanted all this other fun stuff instead.
Well, and from probably what, 19 or 20 on, we stopped at every mile marker. She posed, we got a picture. We got into ESPN. I'll tell you what, being at the back of the pack is the place to be when you hit World of Sports, because all the characters are there. There's no lines. So we stopped for every single character stop. So it wasn't like we were worried about finishing. We made the most of the experience. I mean, to have every single character there, and they were our own. There was nobody else there for pictures.
No line.
Yeah.
Do you like
and
the
that's
choir?
What I wanted. That was part of all that fun that I had seen Brad have. You know, all those pictures that came up on Facebook. I'm like, why need all those pictures? So we need to stop.
So what's next for you two, dynamic duo, dynamic sibling running duo here?
I don't know. We don't really. I'm
what?
Trying to even think. We have
it?
Scheduled together.
No. So
California,
we have, okay, so.
Dopey. I hear Dopey.
California.
So at least for local races, we have coming up the Lucky Charm 10K. And that was actually her very first official race last year and the first time we ran together. And it was funny because she was doing these intervals. So we have that coming up. And actually, that I'm going to put a plug in. That benefits Girls on the Run which is an organization that I'm very active with. And actually, Amy's on our 5K committee, and her daughter just started. And then we have the Capital 10 Miler, which is a 10-mile race in Harrisburg. So those are the two definite ones that we're both doing together in the next couple months.
Nice. And as for Disney?
I probably will not be able to go next year. I'm so depressed.
So actually, maybe all of your listeners can help us. So ready for this? So Amy will be going down in the fall, and it'll be over food and wine. And she has had some conversations with her husband about wine and dine, but it doesn't look like that's when the trip will be planned. But no. I don't know, maybe if there's a whole bunch of flurry of media comments, maybe we could convince Matt to go down for wine and dine, and she could do the half.
Amy, I'm just going to lay it out for you. This is how it starts.
This is the addiction.
This is how it starts, and then soon you're going to turn into Brad, or one of us, which is even scarier.
Start taking out the second mortgage.
All of your clothes turning to running clothes. All of your music is running music.
Well, and that's the funny thing. Last night, my husband and I had a date night, and part of the date night included going to the store so I could buy some more running clothes.
There we go. All right. There we go.
Oh, welcome to the goodness. Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
these are every other Tuesday, and we have a secret handshake. Brad will teach you.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a quick plug in for Run Disney. Run Disney, and again, I know that, again, not everybody may have been thrilled with the outcome, but I think they did an incredible job with what they had to work with. But Amy had actually emailed them after she got back and said, you know, hey, I did this. If you happen to have any extra shirts laying around, because obviously they weren't sure they would have enough shirts for all the people that upgraded. Amy, what did you get in the mail this past week?
I got my shirt, and I already wore it.
Oh,
she got her marathon shirt.
Oh, that's so nice.
You know, kudos to Rising.
I'd like to, you know, jump on what Brad said. Of everybody here, I think I was the only one who opted for, I was in a position, well, I was in a position to opt, just like Amy was, to opt for a future race. And so I did that. I emailed Disney, and they eventually sent me a special URL. I went to it, and it was the easiest. I was surprised, and I probably shouldn't say that, but I was surprised as to how easy it was for me to just defer and sign up for next year's half. So, you know, what Brad said, you know, goes double for me. It was just, you know, and Brad, they didn't have to step up like they did, but they did. You know?
Yep, they did. And even, you know, we got to ESPN, and again, I've learned everything from Disney. We got there early. We were one of the first probably 25 or 30 people in line on Saturday morning to get her registration and get the bibs and get the medals and everything. And Disney was fairly prepared. The folks at the gate, actually, a couple of us suggested to the cast members, well, you know, you ought to really line us up for the people that are doing the marathon, for the people that are going to get the gift card, for the people that are going to defer. And they huddled and they said, you know, that's a great idea. We're going to line you up by these different groupings. So they allowed us to kind of help them coordinate what the game plan was going to be. But we got there so early, I mean, 2 hours before the gates opened, but it was really well organized from our standpoint.
Cool.
You learned well, my grasshopper.
I just have one more question for you, Amy. With whom did you share your medal? Did you wear it on the way home, going back to Pennsylvania?
Oh, yes, I did. I may have even slept in it, but I'm not sure I would admit to that.
Well, and did you maybe wear it the day after you got home?
Yes, I did wear it today.
She's still wearing it now. She's still wearing it, right?
She wore it to work.
I did wear it to work.
It's good. Why not?
Awesome. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Be proud. Oh, that's an amazing achievement.
Well, Amy, I think that your brother is one of the nicest people in the world, and I can tell that you're cut from the same cloth. And
thank you.
Very, very, very happy that this worked out well for you. And it sounds like a great experience that the two of you will not soon forget. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you, Brad.
This was awesome. It was great catching up with you guys. And it was great telling the story.
Great. So congratulations, marathoner. You're part of a special group. And we hope to see you at an upcoming Disney race.
I hope so.
So for my co-host, Chris Eliopoulos, and for Mike Scopa, This is Michelle Scribner-McLean, and we will see you and Amy on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.